Scripture reading this morning will be the 20th chapter of Matthew, 1 through 16. 20th chapter of Matthew. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever soever is ripe, I will give you. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all day idle? They say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye into the vineyard, and whatsoever is ripe, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do ye no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto the last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do that I will with mine own? Is mine own eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few chosen.
Appreciate your presence this morning. Glad to have you out. Lateness is not a good trait to have, especially if you're working. You ever been late to work and had the ire of your boss? And if you have, you know that's not a good trait to have. You know, if you have a business and you're late opening up and someone needs your services, they might be a little upset with you. And some of us may have family members who are habitually late to everything that you ever tell them to come to. I remember a fellow that was late all the time when we used to say, well, be ready. And we'd always tell him an hour before we actually needed him because we knew that he would probably be on time then. But I think he got on to the, and you can't keep saying, well, be ready at 3 o'clock for a 9 o'clock appointment. So we have to change things. But lateness can harm a business. It irritates friends and family. And it can prevent accomplishments. Doing things late, delaying or preventing others from doing things as well. But doing righteousness is always good, whether it be early or late in life or anywhere in between. But some may also have goals they've made this year. You know, people say, well, when do we do the New Year's sermon? That's usually towards the end or beginning of the year. I've decided to jump a couple of months ahead and talk about the people who may have already have made such goals this past January. Hey, it's almost November, folks. What have you been doing about those goals? And what do we do about that? Sometimes it's just better late than never. As was read in our hearing by Brother Jim a few minutes ago in Matthew, the 20th chapter, turn there, and we'll begin in verse 1, talking about the day of a householder. Verse 1, it reads, For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. So this is a guy who's got a vineyard. It must be a big one. It's not like the grape harvest at my grandmother's house where It was just maybe as wide as this pulpit here, this part, not the whole thing. But, you know, we had a few grapes and she would can them or make jelly out of them. Or in many years, she got sick of them and they were food for the birds. And the birds, of course, enjoyed them greatly. And imagine having to dress a whole vineyard and having to take care of all those things. You know, I don't know how big his field would have been. But he hires men, and the problem is it wasn't enough. Verse 3, it says, he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, go ye and also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right with is right I will give you. And they went their way, and he went about again the sixth hour and the ninth hour and did likewise. In other words, the work still needed to be done. So he's calling out men, come on out, work. You know, you call them out at the various hours, and then the very last hour, you know, the 11th hour, we always talk about the 11th hour conversions and 11th hour decisions. Well, this is probably about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. And he went out and found others standing idle and said to them, why are you standing here idle? And they say to him, because no man has hired us. And he says to them, go ye also in the vineyard. Whatsoever is right, that shall you receive. Through the whole day, he needs workers. Even that last hour, come on out, and I'll give you what is right. So it continues, you know, they all get the same reward. They're going to have the same job taken. This job is the gospel. That is what he's wanting them to do work for him. This householder is God. God is out there trying to get people until the very last minute to come serve him, to do what is right. And in verse 8 it says, so when evening was come, the Lord of this vineyard said to his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. In other words, they received a whole day's wage. Now, if you're the guy that's worked all day and he's thinking, oh, I might make some money here, they're getting a whole day's wage. Maybe I'll get more. And they came around, and the first came, they thought they were going to get more, and they also get a penny. Well, what a cheapskate. Or you could say, how generous the guys at the 11th hour got. They didn't hardly put any work in at all. And they all received money, and they received it, and they murmur. You know, they grumbled against the goodman of the house, saying, these have worked just 1 hour. You've made them equal to us who have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do you no wrong. Didn't you agree with me for a penny? Didn't you agree to get a whole day's wage? You sure did. Take what yours is and go your way. I will give to this last even as unto you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Is your eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called but few chosen. Everyone is called to obey God, but not everyone's going to take advantage of it. How many are going to have the whole time of their life where they could just work but 1 hour and won't even do that? You know, it's good to be prepared to meet the Lord on the day. You know, you think you're going to get God's reward if you haven't worked a day in your life, a minute of your life in his service? No. Nor would you expect to be hired for a job that you didn't apply for. And if you apply for the job and they hire you and you don't go to work, why should you go up to the boss and say, why haven't you paid me? And if someone agrees to the first person they hire for so much money, but towards the end of the day they are offering the same amount of pay, what's it to you? You're getting your money, and so are they. You know, Matthew, the 24th chapter, it talks about being prepared. In Matthew, the 24th chapter, in verse 36, it says, talks about the day of judgment, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. In other words, wouldn't you think that if some fool puts a note on your door saying, I am going to burglarize your house, please vacate the premises between this hour and that hour, how many of you would just say, okay, or I'm just going to leave and let him break in? No, you're probably going to be there with your 12 gauge, right? And you're going to be aiming it at any noise you hear. You know, would you want to be the burglar that is dumb enough to leave a note? No. But we should always be prepared. You know, if we knew when God was going to come, I would think we would have the desire to go ahead and be ready. The problem is, how many would believe it if it was so? Imagine if you picked up the news today and it says God's coming at 12:56 p.m. today. How many people would say, well, that's foolishness. That's not going to happen. And I've talked before about what if, you know, we've been reading about Jacob and Esau and Isaac, you know, and the patriarchs in the Old Testament on Wednesday nights, talking about Jacob's dream about the ladder, you know, and the angels going up and down on this great ladder or staircase. Could you imagine if there was a great big ladder, or let's just say a staircase, so you'd have a railing to hold on to, and it goes way up in the sky. And it says, you go up this ladder, you go to heaven. And then someone's going to say, okay, I've seen people go up it. I don't think it's safe. And they would say, why not? And they'd say, no one has ever come back. I don't know about you. I don't think I'd come back. Choose perfect everything or this world. Sorry, world. I got other things to do than deal with you. But there are those who have no faith, who are not going to be prepared. You know, we have to be ready. You know, it says in verse 44, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give the meat in the season, in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to hit his fellow servants to eat and drink with the drunk, and the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he's not looking for him, in an hour when he's not going to be aware of, and will cut him to pieces, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yep, we might say, you know, it is good that someone in their old age decides to repent and become a Christian. But I wonder how many people are saying, well, I'm young and I'll wait 50 years, and then when I'm done with having fun in my life, because obviously these Christians don't have fun in life. I don't know about you, but I have a lot more fun in life knowing I'm doing what is righteous, and that I'm not going to pay for the rest of my life on this earth by doing something stupid and foolish. I did not get up this morning hungover. I did not get up this morning beaten up or in a drunk tank, because I actually follow the word of the Lord. We have to realize that we are not guaranteed old age. You might feel good today, but I tell you, I've gone to funerals for people 25 and younger. Gone to funerals for people under 50. Funerals for people who are young and vigorous, but something takes their life. whether it be an accident or cancer or just something out of the blue. None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. We have a service at 6 o'clock. We're not guaranteed 6 o'clock. What would you do? But it's late in this year, 2017. It's October the 22nd, I believe. And how many made those New Year's resolutions? Only to not do them anymore. Now that we're in the fourth quarter of the year, are we doing what it reads in 2 Peter, the third chapter? 2 Peter 3 and 18, it says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Are we growing in our grace? Because we don't know when the end shall come. So we make ourselves prepared for the time that the end shall come. And you know what? You could be super Christian. I don't have a big SC on my shirt, and I don't fly through the air looking for converts and preaching sermons to the whole world because I can do it. I'm kind of limited by my limitations, I guess. And you know what? You could be super Christian. I don't think I'm that. I don't think any of us can quite aspire that. But you take the best Christian in this room. I don't know who that would be, and I'm not going to nominate someone because I'm not God. But you know what? That person would tell you they are nowhere near complete in their service. That they can always learn more. They can always serve better. They can always study more. Talk to people more, convert more. Could you imagine if we had 500 people in this building? 1,000 people in this building, that'd be a lot of stools and people sitting on the floor. And we would think our cup runneth over. But how many thousands are in this county, in the surrounding communities, who would not be here? There is always another soul out there. What can we do to further our service to God? And, there are the obvious things: attending more often, inviting others to services more often. We talked about the parable of the talents, where one man received 5 talents of some money, another received 2, and another received 1. And I likened it to gospel meeting flyers. Imagine if we have the gospel meeting, we always have these flyers, and maybe some people take them, some don't. Maybe some pass them out, others don't. Or maybe I like to scan mine and stick it on Facebook and give it to people and email it to people. And sometimes I'll even send them in the mail. But could you imagine if we gave one person 50 flyers? And that person works hard, sends them out to the neighbors, walks the neighborhood, maybe puts them in a card and puts them in the mail. They're the one that gains 5 more talents. Maybe the one with the 20 puts them out, doesn't get as many done, but still doubles the effort. Then you got the guy with the 10 saying, "Well, I don't want to get these things out to someone who doesn't appreciate it, so just puts them in a box and digs a hole in the backyard and buries it. And then at the end of the gospel meeting, when no one's come, you come up and say, 'Here's your 10 flyers back.'" Which ones do you think God will appreciate doing his work? Which one fits you the best? We also can study more, read the Bible more, and participate more in services. And teach others, whether it be in the Bible class or preaching. Or just by your example. You know what, folks? Whether we know it or not, whether we want to or not, we all are preachers. We may not have the ability or the eligibility to do so. But everything we do, we're showing the world what we think of God. And don't think they don't pay attention. They'll say, "Oh, doesn't that person go to church there, Are they always there when they should be? Are they always living as they should be? They will notice. Don't think they won't. Matthew, the 5th chapter, the Sermon on the Mount, in verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but the salt has lost its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Are we letting our light shine? Does the world know when you walk in their presence that this is a Christian? That this person wants really badly to go to heaven? All the things I've mentioned are just that. Letting our light shine. When a preacher comes in and has prepared a lesson, yeah, it's wonderful when everyone's here. Not everyone's going to be here. And I know that. People get sick. People are traveling, called away to work. But we need to realize that it makes that preacher want to give it a little extra. I took a class when I was in graduate school. It was economics. Now, it was called collective bargaining. I took it in the summertime, and it met at like 7 in the morning, 7:30 in the morning. And it was economics at 7 in the morning. And if you think that was the cure for insomnia, you are correct. It was not the most scintillating topic to be talking about at any time of the day. But we discovered that the professor, the more you got into it, the more into it he became. And he would be talking louder. He would be getting more interesting because we were asking questions. If you didn't ask questions, he'd be like, for an hour and a half at 7 in the morning. Preachers and teachers, they know it when the crowd's into it. They know it when the crowd is not. And sometimes you go, what am I doing here? You wonder if I could, you know, maybe I should get up here and say Jesus is Satan and Satan is Jesus and say it like that and mean it, how many would notice? You sometimes get that way, don't you? You know, I know people in here have been school teachers, and I had a history teacher in high school. He said, that class was dumb. We said, well, how dumb was this class? And he said, when I would give them knowledge, it would bounce back and hit me. Just bounce off of them. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation, your conduct honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For it is the will of God that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. New Year's resolutions made 10 years ago. I called the lesson late goals because I was thinking in that realm. Now those who have made those promises to themselves are now having these resolutions being called New Year's failed resolutions. I prefer the term late year's resolutions. I don't make those things. Making the personal resolving to lose weight or quitting some bad habit. Soda pop, well, I quit that years ago for various reasons. And I think I'm about the only person that graduated from Indiana State University that never drank a cup of coffee. But until we die, it is never too late to become a Christian. It is never too late to become a better one. 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul writes, by inspiration, know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, but so fight I, not as one that beats the air. Are we working out our salvation? You ever be late on payments on something and you try to work out a payment plan? Sure. Are we doing as in Philippians in the second chapter in verse 12? It says, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Everything we do is our responsibility. If we don't get 6 o'clock today, what would the Lord say about our efforts in his service? Would we be like the one that had the 5 talents, or the one with the 2, or the one with that just buried it in the backyard like I did my kid's hamster? I don't like dead things. And my child, well, she likes them live, but they have a bad habit of dying. Hamsters don't live very long. And she bought a new one. Well, she didn't buy it. Dad buys it, doesn't he? And you can fail at the New Year's resolutions, but, you know, those habits might shorten your life. You know, smoking will shorten your life, and not reaching the goal of heaven, though, is a final ruin. The term perdition, you know, in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, in verse 35, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great, great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The term perdition means the final ruin. If we do not make it to heaven, we go to hell. We're final. And we've ruined ourselves, and it's forever. But it's not too late to fulfill that goal of getting to heaven. As we read in Matthew 24, Jesus does not know when the day of judgment is coming. Only the Father knows. But we still need to be ready. It is indeed good to obey the gospel late in life. But we don't know the day of our death, and we do not know when Jesus is coming back, since he doesn't know either. We've had people saying, oh, the world's going to end because we've had an eclipse. Didn't happen. But there's another one coming. You know, there's going to be some other quack out there unless the Lord does decide to end it all here. They're going to be saying some other time. Man thinks it's no fun to be righteous. Those are the lies of Satan. As sin can shorten our life on earth, you know, if you get into bad crowds and you're doing bad things, you get yourself shot to death. Yep, it can do that. Or it can deny us heaven, even if we live here 150 years, or if we die unexpectedly at 15. It is time to obey the gospel and truly do so. Not making resolutions or promises that we never fulfill, but to get rid of that weight of sin. To get rid of what will send us to hell no matter what happens to us. You know, you believe the word, you know. You hear it in Romans 10. You believe the word in Mark 16:16. He who believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. You believe the word and then you repent. Acts 2:38 talking about to repent, to be baptized. making confession with your mouth, as Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8, we read about, and also in Romans 10. To be baptized, as Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8, we just read in Mark 16:16. And then to lead a life faithful unto death, you read that in Revelation 2 and verse 10. To get the shackles of sin off of you so that you are ready to reach that goal of heaven, whether early in life, late in life, or somewhere in between. And one more thing. It's much easier than dieting. And that's our lesson. There's been an invitation song selected. The invitation applies to you in any fashion. Please come forward, make your wants known while we stand and sing.